Across the United States, invasive species are threatening sacred lands in which Indian tribes rely on to live. However, when it comes to discussing how to combat these invasives, Native Americans are often left out of the conversation. So why are indigenous peoples being excluded, and what knowledge might they be able to impart to help fight the problem of invasive species? There are more than 56 million acres of Native American lands nationwide, and many of them are feeling the effects of the encroachment of invasive species. But as it turns out, there's a lot we may be able to learn from this threat by blending ecological and anthropological methodologies. Joining me now to talk about this is Dr. Nicholas Rio. He's Assistant Professor of Native American Environmental Studies at Dartmouth College. He's also a citizen of the Sault Ste. Marie Tribe of Chippewa Indians. So, Dr. Rio, first of all, how are these tribal lands being affected by these invasives, and especially here in the Southwest?
Yeah, so the focus of the paper wasn't on impacts per se, but the impacts are certainly a significant concern. And, there's a lot of different facets. So there's a lot of different layers, and a lot of it's regional. So thinking about the southwestern United States, where you're based, a lot of issues have to do with connected issues of drought. So, the Southwest is in general a dry region, and it's been drier in recent years. And certain introduced plant species can exacerbate those water shortages. And so we heard quite a bit from respondents from the tribes in the Southwest about plant species that exacerbate drought for the spaces within their reservations that hold water. They're impacted by plants such as salt cedar and others. Russian olive is another one that came up several times.
Your study is not necessarily about the impacts, though. It's really about why tribal nations are being neglected when it comes to invasive species work. And explain why.
Well, I think there's two parts. That's kind of a two-part response. And one is that on the ground, they're not always ignored. They're oftentimes working very collaboratively with other governmental partners, state, provincial, federal, local governments, as well as NGOs. So on the ground, they are oftentimes working collaboratively with their neighbors. Sometimes they're left out of processes, or they're invited too late to a regional approach to invasive species. That definitely occurs, but they're involved. I think the bigger issue that we're trying to address is that they're just not noticed and described in the literature. So where scientists are reporting what's going on with invasive species management and ecology, tribes are sort of left out of that literature. And I think it's basically a symptom of a broader issue of tribes and indigenous peoples sort of being relatively ignored within sort of conservation and in ecological literatures generally.
One of the things you point out in your research is that some relatively new methods of pest control, using chemicals, are avoided by tribes because they don't believe in chemicals. They don't want to do harm to other lands and farmland, which they rely on for their everyday food.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, there's increasingly, broadly speaking, beyond indigenous communities, there's increasingly a recognition that there's limits to the utility of chemical-based approaches and using pesticides and herbicides. Sometimes agencies and organizations find it to be the only effective measure or a necessary risk. But for indigenous communities, the risks are different because their people are actively touching, harvesting, engaging with plant and animal materials that are out in the environment at a higher level than the general public. And so, tribes and First Nations and other indigenous groups are oftentimes reluctant to spray chemicals because their people are out in the wetlands and in the forests and in the prairies a lot gathering. That's not to say that they never use chemical approaches, because they do, but they're more hesitant.
And you mentioned that a lot of these Native American tribes and indigenous peoples are using their own old methods of fighting these invasive species. And a lot of them, as you've talked about and we've seen in some of your studies, have worked. So what can we learn, maybe going back to nature, from some of these tribes?
You know, some of these plants and animals are being incorporated into people's food systems or medicine traditions. Some of them have other utility, like for heating homes or for, you know, building products or compost or that sort of thing. And so, and it's not just indigenous nations that are thinking in this way. Others are as well. And I, but I think it's really helpful is to just, rather than just to react and say, okay, this, we need to combat this, is to say, okay, let's really think carefully about what our options are moving forward, in a more holistic sense. The other thing that I'll add is that just the idea of having a longer vision, thinking in longer timescales. So thinking about a longer you know, a lot of indigenous groups talk about seven generations planning, like thinking seven generations behind us and ahead of us when we're making decisions about land management or other issues. And I think that perspective can be really helpful in thinking about the new introduced species as well.
Nicholas Rio is Assistant Professor of Environmental Studies and Native American Studies at Dartmouth University. Thank you so much, Professor. Very interesting.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.